But now it's time to just listen for a moment. So you may want to have some notes with you. The note sheet looks like this, got some fill in the blanks there. And if you're looking at your note sheet, you'll notice the top, it gives our sermon series. And the sermon series, we've been studying the sixth and final week of this series. It's called Choose. The idea of the sermon series is that God gives us the freedom to make choices all day long. And the freedom God gives us to make choices directly impact our life and how we're living. We talked about five decisions that all of us make to go in a direction where God really wants us to be. We talked back on week one about choosing a Christ-like attitude. We talked week two about choosing to be physically healthy. Week three, choosing healthy relationships. Week four, we talked about the idea of being financially responsible. And today, this very last one in this sermon series, we're gonna be talking about the idea of me entering my password on my computer. Never felt so much pressure to enter my password before. The cap lock was on. But I'm choosing a Christ-like attitude. Okay, here we go. Right in the middle of this. So the idea today is choosing to grow in Christ. Choosing to grow in Christ. How many of you guys think it's important to grow in Christ? Just raise your hand. That's a really important thing. Now, this assumes the idea that you are in Christ. Growing in Christ means I'm already in Christ. It means I've been convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, that God sent him to die for our sins, but he rose again, and we can accept him into our lives. Who here would say, raise your hand, that you would say, I believe firmly that I am in Christ. Just give a quick hand up. If not, that's fine. We're so glad you're here no matter what, but you're in Christ. Now it's time to grow in Christ. The Bible says this about growing in Christ, 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up. Go ahead and say grow up. Grow up in your salvation. The idea is growing in this relationship with Christ. You're growing to maturity in Christ. Or Paul, I think, really makes it very succinct. In Romans 8:29, he says, we're growing to be conformed to the image of his son. We're truly growing to be like Christ. And here's what I want to say to you. It's so important that we make all the choices that we have to make to be growing to maturity in Christ. Because when you begin that relationship with Christ, you're just really like a baby. You're not really growing. You're not really moving on how God wants you to. Now, a lot of you here, you saw my daughter was announced today that she's a new worship intern for us. She'll be here the next 6 months or so, and she's taking on the worship internship. Yeah, go ahead and give her a hand. And what you saw today for my daughter was a very mature young woman who's growing in Christ, and she's going to go on a year-long mission trip, and she's really excited about it. But I remember Elizabeth's life when she wasn't quite so mature. I remember when she was in fourth grade, my daughter had the absolute desire that she would one day become famous. It was all she talked about all the time. She'd watch like Disney Channel shows and she'd see famous kids and think, I'm as good as them, I can be famous. And so every day she'd talk about being famous. So one day she had a moment of reality about being famous, and she's sitting at the kitchen table. I'm working on dinner in the kitchen, we can see each other. And she said, Dad, her voice had that little special tone, Dad, do you think, Dad, that I'll really become famous? I said, honey, and I thought, okay, here's my opening to tell her no. Here's my opening to burst her famous bubble. I said, honey, it's really hard to become famous. Like, for example, do you think I'll ever become famous? She said, of course you will. You'll be Elizabeth Pound's dad. That was her thought about me, becoming famous. And she had to mature, right? She had to mature away from some of these immature thoughts that she had in childhood. But it's so awesome to see her growing and maturing. And I want to see the exact same thing from every one of you, that you're making the choices to grow in Christ, to maturity, to grow to be like Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Think about this. Is it possible to mature in Christ by accident? Is it possible to mature in Christ simply by not even trying, by never thinking about it? Will you somehow mature in Christ? Could you sleep with the Bible as your pillow every day? Would that do it? Would you grow by Christ through osmosis? Is that really how it works? I'm going to say to you, you've got to make choices. Say amen. You've got to choose to do what has to be done to grow in Christ. So how do you grow in Christ? How do you begin this process? Here's number one, fill in the blank. Fill in these blanks, really important. If you want to grow in Christ, here's the first thing that you do. You need to, number one, deny yourself and pursue God through through spiritual disciplines. Write that down. It begins right away by saying, you know what? I'm never going to grow without sacrifice, without surrender, without what Jesus called denying myself, realizing it's not about me. In fact, he told the disciples just this in Luke 9:23. Just picture the disciples. They're all sitting there with Jesus, and he's there with them. And Jesus said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple, or whoever wants to grow in Christ, whoever wants to follow me, this is what you do. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. I feel like there's three things here really important for us to understand. How do I grow in my faith with Christ? First, you deny yourself. You realize it's really not about me. It's about saying, I surrender. It's about sacrificing often what I want to do and allowing God's will to happen in my life. Many of you in this room today, you may have faced a question. Do I go to church or do I not go to church? I don't know what to do. And you denied yourself if you wanted to stay home. I remember this morning I got up and looked back at my bed and the pillow and the blankets looked so comforting and inviting. Anybody else there with me, right? And you saw that, but you say, no, I'm not going to get back in bed. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to go and do God's will. Number one, you deny yourself. Say deny yourself. Go ahead. Deny yourself. Number two, you take up your cross daily. Now, this is difficult to fully understand exactly what this concept means. I spent hours and hours studying and reading and thinking through, looking at the Greek. What does it mean when Jesus says, take up your cross daily? Most biblical scholars that teach on this passage kind of bring it down to a pretty simple thing. Taking up your cross daily means you are doing the difficult things that God asks you to do. It's about dying to yourself. It's about saying, I'm picking up my cross. I'm picking up these spiritual disciplines to do what must be done. I'm first denying myself. And second of all, I'm saying, okay, God, what would you have me do? I'm doing the difficult things. Now, I'm going to just stop right there. Look at me just for a second. I want you to understand these two things are how most things truly get done. First, you deny yourself, and then you do the difficult things that you have to do. This is the world system that we live in. Often, you just simply deny yourself, and you do the hard things that you know you have to do. If you want to lose weight, if you want to save money, if you want to get a college degree, you deny yourself, and you do those difficult things that have to be done. But Jesus doesn't leave it just there. He says a third thing that's really, really important. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Do the difficult things you have to do. But number three, you follow me. This relationship that we have with Christ involves listening and obeying the voice of Jesus Christ. The voice of Christ that we see both in the Bible as well as his personal revelation to us as we're following him, as we're with him in this life. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Back in 2012, a good number of years ago, someone actually had suggested to me that I do a certain workout program and involved buying it and getting it. Came to your house, I had DVDs, and the program I'm talking about had an interesting workout name. The workout I'm talking about was called Insanity. Who's ever heard of Insanity ever before, right? I think the name is like a marketing technique, like, come on, it's insane! Someone had done it that I knew, and they lost 40 pounds, and that person was like, oh, you gotta do it! So I purchased Insanity, it came to my house, and I began doing the workout every single day. I'd get my double pair of socks on, I'd get my little shorts on, my little cut-off t-shirts, you know what I mean? I'd close all the blinds, and I'd do my workout. It's a two-month program. The first month, it's 45 minutes a day. The second month, it's an hour for every workout. Almost never did I ever want to do it. Almost never was I like, oh, it's time for my workout, yes! No, I just did it. I put my socks on, my shoes on, my workout clothes, I hit play, and I did the best that I could to finish the warm-up. No, I'm just kidding. The best I could every single day to do what I could. And you know what happened? There's some good things happened to my body. I denied myself. If I didn't want to do it, I did it. I picked up my exercise cross. I did the hard things. But I did not in any way, shape, or form develop a personal relationship with the trainer, Shanti. Shanti and I did not have a personal relationship. I did not accept Shanti by faith into my heart. That did not happen. He simply was on my screen leading through workouts. He never spoke to me in my heart. I never had a vision of Shanti. It didn't work that way. But with Jesus Christ, it's very, very different. Christ, I'm going to say this, you say amen. Christ is alive. Amen. And he's alive in us. He's alive in us. So we're denying ourselves. We're picking up our cross. We're doing the difficult things. But Christ is alive to strengthen us, to guide us, to whisper direction into our heart as we follow after him. Let me blow this away for you. 1 John 4:9 says this. Lean in, listen. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world. Now stop right there. That we might live through him. We're denying ourselves. We're taking up our cross and we're following him. We're living through him. The Greek word here is the word dia. It means powered by. The Christian life is powered by Jesus Christ himself. Say amen. That's really important that you get this. Here's my phrase for this. You want to grow in Christ in the companionship of Christ. You're growing in Christ with Christ. He's there to strengthen you, lead you, guide you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, also called the Spirit of Christ, lives within you. And he's helping you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Now let's get back to my point. Deny yourself and pursue God through spiritual disciplines. And that's an interesting phrase. And maybe you're wondering, Pastor Tom, exactly what is a spiritual discipline? Here's a quote. Don Whitney is a seminary professor at the Southern Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And Don Whitney says this: the spiritual disciplines are those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers. They're habits of devotion that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. If you're looking for a Bible verse that talks about spiritual disciplines, here's the verse that's often quoted, 1 Timothy 4:7. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so over the years, many thousands of years of Christians growing, they've had disciplines. They've had specific things that they've done that say, when I do these disciplines in the companionship of Christ, I grow spiritually in my life. Very famous book about spiritual disciplines. I've got it here in my hand. It's written by Richard Foster called The Celebration of Discipline. How many heard of this book ever before? Really famous book on spiritual disciplines. And Richard Foster actually gives us 12 separate disciplines that are there. You can go online, do a Google search on spiritual disciplines. You can find some websites give 21 spiritual disciplines. There are many disciplines out there. But I want to talk today about 7 common spiritual disciplines, and you can write these down in your notes if you like. And some of these will not be surprising to you, but they're what you pursue. You deny yourself and pursue God through spiritual disciplines to choose to grow in him. And number one is very simply prayer. If we want to be growing in Christ, we've got to be praying. I would encourage you to think about prayer in 2 really important ways. Number one is to pray to begin your day. Set aside some time to pray to begin your day, and also to pray throughout your day to maintain that connection with God as you're going about your daily tasks, to stay in prayer, stay in connection with God through prayer. Who here thinks, raise your hand, that the spiritual discipline of prayer is essential for our spiritual growth? Raise your hand. Do you believe that? Prayer. Number one, you pursue God through prayer. Number two is a study of Scripture. I want to encourage you, like I just mentioned, to take time every day, 5 days a week at least, that you're finding time in God's Word, not just to read it, but to study it, to go deeper, to understand what the Word of God is saying. And you're going to find that as you're studying God's Word, as you're praying, these disciplines, as you're doing it with the companionship of Christ, you'll be growing as you're practicing these disciplines. Number three is worship. Worship is certainly, we think about singing, we think about coming to church, we think about worshiping together, but really the heart of the idea of worship is my heart being in full adoration to God. That can be through a song that I'm singing, that can be through the meditation of my heart, it can be through a poem, it can be in whatever way. But worship means that my heart is tuned to God. Often the Bible tells us to sing. I would encourage you when it's time to worship to sing those songs and let God be in that place of adoration in your life. Here's the first three: prayer, study of Scripture, worship. Number four is one you should not ignore and very important spiritual discipline: service. The idea of service is the idea that I'm serving God by serving someone else, someone I know or someone perhaps I don't know, in church or out of church, wherever I might be. My heart is a heart of service, and my service allows me to grow spiritually as we make the decisions that let God work in our lives. Service is what I'm choosing to do that I might grow spiritually in that way. Prayer, study of scripture, worship, service. Number five is fasting. Fasting in the most simple terms is the idea that we're taking out something from our life to grow more dependent on God. The idea of fasting also involves the idea of brokenness, that when I take something out of my life that I think I need, like food, which you do need, you're going to come to a point where you're going to feel the need. And in that need, you're going to grow to a deeper dependence on God. Well, I know I've talked about this before, but at one time in my life, I fasted for 40 days. Twice I fasted for 20 days. Many times I fasted for a week or 10 days or whatever. And always when you're fasting, there's this close connection with God that you know, I'm taking this out of my life. I'm taking food out of my life. I'm saying I want to grow closer to you. And it's amazing how that discipline can help you grow. Number six is one you might not often think of, but you might long for in your life. Number six is solitude. This has been practiced since the time of Jesus, that Christians would find some time to get totally alone, to turn off all the noise, turn off all notifications on all devices, turn off everything, turn off the TV, the internet, turn off the voices around you, and just quietly wait before the Lord in God's presence. Solitude, such an interesting, amazing concept. And then last of all, number seven, very importantly, is what we simply call community. Community is the idea that we need each other. I'll say it again. You say amen. We need each other. Amen. We need other Christians to sharpen us. One of the ones I didn't put here that's part of a larger list is the discipline of confession, where you're just finding someone you trust and you're confessing your heart to them. You're telling them what's happening within you. It can be so helpful to have a trusted Christian brother or sister to pour your heart out to be in a Bible study with, to grow together in that community in that way. When it comes to spiritual disciplines, I want to say something I feel is really, really important. You might want to write this down as well. This I think is really important. We have to create routines that never become just routine. Think about that. We have to create routines that never become just routine. I want to have a routine in my life of seeking God through prayer. I'll tell you something about my life. I've said this before. It's not no surprise here. But every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever time I wake up, 5, 5:15, 5:30, as long as I can sleep in, I'd love to sleep in. But at 6 o'clock, I know I'm going to be at my dining room table. I'm going to have the Bible open, my prayer journal open, and I'm going to be seeking these three spiritual disciplines every single morning, at least 5 days a week: prayer, the study of scripture, and worship. But you know what? This is a routine in my life, but I never can let this routine just become routine. It can never just become boring. Oh, it's my boring old morning time with Jesus. No, it can't ever become like that. I've got to know that, you know, this is such an important part of my day. How many guys here think, raise your hand, that if you began your day, now for me, it's an hour, 6 to 7, prayer, study of scripture, and worship, that if you devoted that time, you would begin growing in Christ in a tremendous way. Just raise your hand. You believe that? You believe that? There was a young man last year, he was a high school senior. And I've always admired him. I've always liked him. He seems like a really promising young man. He's in my daughter's class in high school. And last year we went to Africa together. And he asked me before the trip, he said, "Pastor Tom, would you mentor me? Would you take some time with me and help me grow spiritually?" And I said, "Absolutely yes." And we sat down for our first mentoring session. And it was the very first lesson I laid upon him. It's great to come to church. It's important. It's great to go to youth group. That's important. But you've got to have a daily time with God, with prayer and God's word, and enter in some worship in that time with God. He said, "You know, I've never done that, but I know," he said confidently, "I know that's the next step, that's the next thing that I have to do if I really want to begin growing." This is so important that you say, "You know what, I've got to choose to do it." Some of you in this room, you are what we call morning people. And morning people, the morning is like, it's like your bright and shining moment of the day. Who here, raise your hand, you're a morning person. Oh, look at all you. Well, it's a 9 o'clock service. That doesn't surprise me at all, right? You're morning people. And so for you, getting up early, maybe it isn't difficult or it isn't a difficult thing, but you know what? Maybe you've got your morning routine. You've got to alter your routine to find time to seek God in the morning. How many of you here, those people we call evening people? It means your heart, go raise your hand, evening people, night people, right? Your heart comes alive at midnight. You're like, oh, finally, it's my time. Or 10:30 if you're older. I don't know how that, you know, works out for you. But evening people, you may have a harder time. You want to find rhythms that work for you, that you're finding time to seek God. I was talking to somebody this week. I've never heard this in my whole life before. I was talking to him this week, and he said to me, I'm an afternoon person. I thought, oh, that's pretty good, right? I'm not a morning person. I'm not a night person, but I'm an afternoon person. You know, maybe you find the time for you that works best to be seeking God. But let me tell you, you've got to choose it. You've got to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to learn how to make a routine that I do daily that doesn't just become routine in my life. I'm going to give you a quote. There's not just the disciplines, it's how you approach spiritual disciplines. It's a book by Dallas Willard called The Spirit of the Disciplines. And Dallas Willard actually says, it's not just the disciplines that you do, it's how you approach them. It's the attitude that you bring to the disciplines as you approach prayer and study of God's word and fasting and solitude and all that you might do. Here's what Dallas Willard says. I think it's really important for us. He says this, we can easily find ourselves, see if you agree, driven to despair over the powerful tension in our modern lives between our intentions and our actions. Now just listen about that. I'm talking today about choosing to set aside time to pray. And many of you here, at some point in your life, you committed to do it. I'm gonna do it every day. Prayer and the Bible and worship and every day I'm gonna do it. But then you find your lives, your modern lives, as Dallas Willard said, your modern lives are busy. And so you've got good intentions. Who here, raise your hand. You've got great intentions, raise your hand. Oh, you all do. You've got great intentions, but your actions don't match your intentions. And that can drive you to despair in your life. You could walk out right now thinking, oh, I'm not a very good Christian. I'm not doing what I should do. I'm not choosing to grow spiritually. My life is complicated. That tension between your intention and your action can drive you to despair. But Dallas Willard actually offers a solution out of that despair about how we pursue the disciplines that help us grow spiritually. Here's what he says. The secret then, lean in for a secret. The secret then is to learn from Christ how to live our total lives, how to invest all our time and our energies of mind and body, listen, to live as he did. Dallas Willard would say, you know what? It's not so much that you should take time to pray. You should find out how did Jesus pray and pray like Jesus did. Amen? Or he would say, you know what? When it comes to fasting, find out for Jesus what was important about fasting and choose to fast like Jesus fasted. Or find out in every discipline, how did Jesus Christ order his life to pursue this discipline? And along those lines, I want to say something that for Jesus, I think was top importance in his life was this very important thing. It's number two. I think this is how Jesus chose to pursue disciplines and to teach disciplines. Jesus, this is very important to him, I think. This is number two. Pursue growth in Christ in an atmosphere of faith and expectation. Let me say that again. Pursue growth in Christ in an atmosphere of faith and expectation. In fact, if you wanted to impress Jesus, you can read the Gospels, you'll see what impressed Jesus was faith. When he saw faith in someone's life, he'd say, whoa, I haven't seen faith like this anywhere else. Or if you wanna make Jesus upset, just be of little faith, have so little faith. He gets frustrated when he sees no faith, and he's amazed when he sees faith in the life of those that are following after him. Imagine this teaching of Jesus, Matthew 17, 20. What's happening before this is the disciples, they can't cast out a demon like they think that they should. And Jesus says, well, simply, it's because of your lack of faith. And then he says this, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. want to suggest to you, by the way, a mustard seed is really small. That's my hand. Don't read my fortune up there, okay? That's my hand. That's a little tiny mustard seed in my hand. That's how small a mustard seed is. I want to suggest to you that when you pursue spiritual disciplines like prayer, that you do it in an atmosphere of faith and expectation, that when you come in the morning, this is a really important thing for me. How do I make routines that don't just become routine? It's because I have faith that every single morning when I get alone with God, I've got my prayer journal and my Bible, I've got some worship music I'm gonna be worshiping with. I know, I don't think, I don't suppose, I know I'm gonna meet with Jesus Christ every single morning. I know it's likely that 3 out of 5 days I'll be overcome with tears as I'm filled with the Holy Spirit in my little kitchen area as I'm praying. I know it. I don't think it's gonna happen. I'm absolutely assured it's gonna happen because it's happened day after day, month after month, year after year. I wouldn't miss that time because I know what's gonna happen. God is gonna fill me. He's gonna point out where I've done things that I shouldn't have done, and he's gonna correct me in that time, and I've gotta come and repent of attitudes or things I've done. It's gonna happen in that morning time. He's gonna give me ideas and thoughts about you and the church, and he's gonna fill me with knowledge that I desperately need. I have 100% faith that that will happen every morning. There's a really good chance I'm not gonna leave my prayer time until that happens every morning. But what if you enter that time with no confidence, with no faith whatsoever that you're gonna hear from God or that's gonna be meaningful to your life? What if the faith itself makes a difference as you approach God? Well, let me show you a famous verse that really means a lot to me. This is James chapter 1, verse 5, and we're gonna look at verse 6 as well. This is a pretty amazing claim that James makes to all of us. James was the brother of Jesus, if you didn't know that. And James says this amazing statement. If any of you lacks wisdom, who here would say that in some area you lack some wisdom? Raise your hand. If any of you lack wisdom, we have a lot of wise people here. That's good. I like that. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. That's amazing, that claim. If you lack wisdom, ask God, and God will give you the wisdom that you need. Let me tell you my story about this verse and why it's so meaningful to me. When I was 10 years old, just picture a little 10-year-old, you know, little Tom, 10. I had no gray hair when I was 10. I was a little guy. Anyway, not important. But when I was 10, life-changing thing happened in my life. My dad was a pastor. He got a call from God to go into missions in the Philippine Islands, and my entire family moved all the way around the world. So far around the world, it was 12 hours difference. We moved to the Philippines and a new culture, and I was learning a new language, and it was a very different, overwhelming experience for a 10-year-old. But we moved to a city that had many other missionaries and missionary kids, and the missionary kids there, when they had a birthday, they'd invite everybody over for a big birthday party. You go spend the night, one or two nights, and we didn't live that close to each other, so you had to spend a few nights usually in a birthday party. And went to my very first one, didn't know the kids real well, and the first night I went to that birthday party, they all went to sleep. But I didn't go to sleep. I just laid there in bed with some other kid snoring, and I was just laying there. It was a miserable, awful experience all night. I'm just like, I wish I could go to sleep. God, help me go to sleep. And all night long, I was thinking about living in America, and I was a little depressed and a little down. It was a miserable experience in my life. Then, you know, went home, and my dad was like, hey, how was that sleepover? I was like, oh, it was awful. I couldn't go to sleep. It was terrible. Well, a few weeks later, I got another invitation to another birthday party. I didn't want to go. I don't want to lay there all night awake and feel despair, and I didn't want to do it. And my dad pulled me aside, and my mom was concerned about me, you know, how's your kid adjusting to the new culture is a big thought, you know, whatever. And my mom was like, I'm praying for you. And my dad pulled me aside, actually into his office, which was kind of a big deal for 11-year-old Tommy at that time. I went to my dad's office, and he said, you know, I've been thinking about your problem, and I've got a solution for you. And like my dad almost always did, he opened the Bible, in this case to James chapter 1. He said, Tom, here's a solution. I think you should go to that party, go make some friends, go have a good time. When it comes time to go to sleep at night, if you can't go to sleep, do this, ask God. Look, James 1:5 says, ask for wisdom, and God will give you wisdom. That's how you're gonna go. Go to the party, and then ask God to give you some wisdom. So I went to that party a little anxious and not quite sure what was gonna happen, but I went to the party, and you know, we were kind of having a late night snack, and it's getting time for bed. And it was at that moment I started to get some anxiety. I thought, okay, I'll do it. And I actually prayed right there. All my little friends were around me, and we're eating a snack. And I began to pray. I said, God, give me wisdom. What do I do? How do I get to sleep? What do I do? God, give me wisdom. And the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit, I remember it like it was yesterday, just spoke into my heart. And the Holy Spirit said this incredible wisdom from God. If you drink the caffeine in your pop, it's going to be hard to sleep. That was God's voice in my head. And I was so moved by it. I took my pop. I took it to the bathroom. I poured it all out. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing it. I slept like a baby. You know what happened in my life? I began to believe because of my personal experience. I began to believe this verse, James 1:5. If you ask God for wisdom, God will in some way give you the wisdom that you need. But you know what? Verse 6 is really important. Look at verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed about. This is what I want you to see. It's so important. When you approach a spiritual discipline, like studying scripture or like prayer or like worship, you do it with faith. You do it with the knowledge that the living God is alive in you and he's waiting to direct your life, to strengthen you, to direct you, to help you repent of sin and walk away from bad decisions. He's there to direct you, guide you, strengthen you, that you might impact the world for him. Do you have that kind of faith? Don't tell me you've got this wishy-washy, lukewarm, well, I guess I'll pray. Well, I guess I'll go to church. Well, forget it. Faith is a critical factor in your success. How do you build faith? How do you do this? Let me give you a little touch on how to build faith. To build faith, focus your mind on spiritual reality. Take it off your situation. Take it off your fear. Take it off what you're looking at. And focus your mind on spiritual reality. Remember who God is and what he has said and what he has done. I mean this in two ways. First of all and foremost, who God is, what he said, what he's done in the word of God. Remember how the Bible instructs us to understand God, but also think about your own experience. What's God said to me? How's God worked in my life? And let faith be built as I'm approaching God. Let me just pause right here in the sermon. By the way, I'm working on this preaching technique. It's called a thoughtful pause. Let me just try one. You guys look thoughtful in that pause. I'm going to stop right now. Because what I've said so far is that you've got to pursue spiritual disciplines. Choose to follow them. Do you believe that's important? Raise your hand. And number two, I've said how you pursue them matters. Is that good? Raise your hands. You believe that? How you pursue them matters. Pursuing them matters, how you pursue them. But I don't want to miss something really big and something really important. And that's number three. We're going to go to a new genre. We're going to step away from spiritual disciplines, what to do and how to do them. And we're going to go to something really important in number three. And I want you to fill these blanks. And I believe this with all my heart for spiritual growth and growth in other areas of your life. See if you agree. Real growth is a direct result of being really loved. Write that down. Do you believe that? Boy, you really begin to grow, especially spiritually, as you really are experiencing the love that God has for you in this life. Two places we should be experiencing real, tangible love. Number one, we should be experiencing the love of God. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. I hope you have those memories of times in your life when you know the love of God was poured into my heart, the love of God. I've seen it. I know it. If you have not, you know what? It's time to practice some solitude. Get alone with God. Experience his presence. Let his love fill you. When you're experiencing the love of God, you are growing in exponential ways. Do you agree with that? Raise your hand. Who here would say, just raise your hand one more time, you have had that experience where you know the love of God. Just raise your hand. You know that. You know the love of God. Position yourself to be in the flow of his love. It will change your life. You've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. And when you do, the floodgates of God's love is open for your heart. Amen? Number one, we're experiencing the true love of God as we're seeking him and we're praying and we're worshiping and we have solitude and fasting and times when God's love can be poured into our heart. I'll tell you a quick story. I remember when I was 24 years old and I've been living my own way, doing my own thing, drinking pretty much every day, living for myself, not seeking God, totally walked away from God. Went to jail for the third time in my life, drinking-related offense, 24 years old. When I began to give God a chance in my life, I told God, I'd give him 30 days. I'll study you, God, for 30 days. And if you're real, do something. It was a horrible way to approach God. Never do it that way. That's what I did, though. After about a week, I was convinced God was working. So I attempted to fast for the first time in my life. I did a 3-day fast. The second day of that fast, I thought I was dying. No exaggeration, no lie. I thought I was dying. I'm not sure why I chose this, but to do my fast, I was drinking chocolate milk because it seemed filling. I don't know. That's again, not a recommendation. But I laid down in my absolute misery of fasting. And I had my hands like this. Didn't mean to, but I just had my hands out like this. And I'm just praying, God, you've got to strengthen me. God, you've got to help me. God, I'm seeking after you. I'm believing in you. I'm gaining faith. God, help me, help me. God, be here with me. My arms are like this. And I remember this clear moment where the Holy Spirit begins to take hold of my life. And my arms are like this. And God says, don't you see how much I love you? Look at your arms. And I had a moment where I'm picturing Jesus Christ on the cross. And the love of God was being poured into my heart. This is critical for your growth. Critical for your growth to know real love of God. And you're really being changed. Number one, from God himself. And number two, don't miss this. 1 John 3:23. And this is his command. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now when I stop, you guys jump in. And to one another as he commanded us. We're to love each other. We're to have love for each other. That when you feel that love from other believers, it affects you in such an amazing way. It overwhelms your life to know the love other Christians have for you. The word here, by the way, the Greek word for love is not agape, the most popular word for love in the Bible. This is philia. To treat affectionately, to love with the love of family, kinship. That when I see you and you see me, we don't just see some other person, we see family. There's a kinship that we have. It's a close, affectionate bond of a family that we have with each other in our lives. Let me tell you, love makes all the difference. A few moments from now, you're gonna be observing a baptism. And as you see that baptism, I just want you to just to go crazy giving God the glory and celebrating for a life changed. But after the baptism today at 9, we have an additional baptism at 11 o'clock. Let me tell you a little bit about that 11 o'clock baptism. It's a young couple, they're engaged. Her mother was a strong Christian woman who unfortunately died of cancer. And at her mom's funeral, right here in this room, both she and her fiance accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Say amen. Say amen to that, right? And one of the reasons why that they were able to have their hearts open and their eyes open is because they saw her mom's love for Christ and her mom's love for them and the love of this church encircling their family. And they're being baptized today. This is an awesome thing. The young man, the fiance, actually called me. He said, Pastor Tom, at the funeral, I accepted Christ and I don't know what to do. Would you just tell me what to do? I said, yes, I will be happy to tell you what to do. Being baptized today. Why don't you bow your heads for a second? Here's what I want to ask you to do, and it's not an easy thing. Been preaching about choosing for 6 weeks. And most of these sermons have been a lot about you thinking about decisions that you'll make outside of this room. You're gonna choose daily to do this and that and whatever. But today I want you to think about a choice that you're gonna seal with a commitment in this room. And if you'd say, I choose to do what must be done that I would grow in Christ, I want you to find some place in this room and get on your knees. Getting on your knees is a long-term, 2,000-year-old Christian tradition of saying to God, I'm making a solemn decision, God, to follow you. You can do it in your seat. You can come to the altar and get on your knees up here. You can go in the back of the room. If your knees are achy and in pain, then you can hold off on that. But I want to ask you, today in this room, to get on your knees and say to God, I choose to grow in Christ. Even if you're already growing in Christ, you're renewing that commitment to pursue God through spiritual disciplines and an atmosphere of faith and expectation, opening yourself to know God's love and to love others as well. So I'm gonna pray, and when I finish praying, I want you to find some place in this room and get on your knees to make this commitment before God today. Father, I thank you for every person here. I know, God, what I'm asking is a big thing. But God, I pray this big thing would seem like nothing compared to what you've done for us. And that people in this room that are choosing to grow in you would find a place in this room to get on their knees and have a moment of quiet prayer with you while our praise team is quietly praying. God, I pray they would get on their knees to say, I choose to grow in Christ. I thank you, God, for this church. I thank you for the great people in this room. But God, call them to something more. Call them to something greater to order their lives to grow in you. In your name I pray, amen. All right, stand. And find a place to get on your knees. Come on, walk up here, doesn't matter. Walk up here, find a place in your row. Go in the back of the room, I don't care. Find a spot to get on your knees to tell God, I choose to grow in you. Find a spot, find a place. Come on, find a place. Come on.
Thank you for the cross that you have carried. Thank you for your blood that was shed. You took the weight of sin upon your shoulders and sacrificed your life so I could live. Jesus, you're the King upon the throne. Thank you for the way you've always loved me. Now I get to love you in return. Now I get to love you.
Praise God. If you would like to turn your attention to the baptismal, we'll celebrate this.
Hello, everyone. I've enjoyed the pleasure of getting to know Lauren Knutson. She's going to be coming into the She's going to be coming into the baptistry pool with her dad, Jay, and I. And it's been so fun getting to know her and her family through some Spring Hills homeschool support group events and projects, and also through kids choir and other things that we've been associated with down through the years. So it's my pleasure. Lauren, this is Lauren. Everybody say, hey, Lauren.
Hey, Lauren.
And Lauren, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
Yes, sir.
And is it your intention to follow him all the days of your life? It's my privilege to baptize you, along with your dad, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And just as Christ was raised in newness of life, the Bible says that we're raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you, Lauren. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together for a minute, then we'll do one more song. God, thank you for this celebration of baptism. Thank you that Lauren is growing in Christ, taking this step of faith. And I pray that you would bless her and her family as she takes steps of faith these days and in the future to follow you and to be a shining light for you. We thank you for this time that we have together. Help our praise to rise and our faith to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Andrew?
Amen. How exciting is that? Yeah? Yeah. Well, let's continue in worship as we close out the service and just celebrate the newness and the new life in Christ. So if you would like to stand with us. Thank you.
My name's Tevis, and I just want to mention a few things to you as we close out, just some opportunities you have to put into action what we've talked about today about choosing to grow in Christ. And one of those, maybe you're here today and you just want to know more about what it means to have a relationship with Christ. And so if you're watching online, we have a Next Step section that's a button right there that says Discover a Relationship with Christ, and you can check that out. Also, if you're here in this room, just stop by our Next Steps area. We have some host team members there, and Tom's going to be there. We'd love to talk to you about a relationship with Christ, things you can do to grow, ways you can get connected here, and just in community, about our groups, those kinds of things. Stop by our Next Steps area. If you're brand new, stop by there, and we have a gift for you there as well, and just some information you can take with you that might just help you to know more about who we are here at Spring Hills. I want to remind you guys, tonight we have our All Things New study that starts, and if you haven't signed up for that, you can still do that at the information desk or online, or if you show up, we'd be glad to have you as well, okay? And so it's a great opportunity to grow spiritually through that. And then our Spring Hills University classes, they start this weekend and next weekend. Tonight, Carl Strauss has a class on the book of Zechariah and just how it applies to today and today's culture and some of the prophecies and things that are mentioned there. Next week, the next two Sundays from 10:30 till noon, I'm going to be teaching a class with John and Julie Ubel about just discovering your spiritual shape and just ways to serve and how God has created you to serve and wired you. And we'd love to for you to be a part of that. And again, that's on Sundays, the next couple of Sundays. And then Financial Peace University starts next Sunday evening. And again, we believe so much in that class, just the importance of scriptural principles that are there that will help you manage money, get out of debt, to save, those kinds of things, and just maybe help you in your marriage, just help you build a stronger home. And so please sign up for that if you haven't. And if you're like, well, I'd like to be a part of that, but I don't know if I could afford the cost for the kit, the membership kit, then talk to me or Tom. There is some scholarship money available, and we would love just to do what we can to help you be a part of that class, okay? So that's Financial Peace University, and you sign up for all of those through Spring Hills University online at the information desk, or if you just use your app, there's a couple of icons. One's events registration, the other one's Spring Hills University. You click on those, that'll take you right to where you need to be to find out how to register for any of these opportunities, okay? So take advantage of those, and of course, we encourage you, stay connected with us throughout the week through Facebook, Instagram. I know Tom often posts videos there each week, and we post other things, just inspirational things, as well as just information, ways to be involved here at Spring Hills. So stay connected with us through that. Now, some of you, I want to make sure, how many of you completed your homework? It probably felt like homework, like your little survey, right? It was like so quiet earlier. And so we want to say thanks for taking the time to do that. And if you didn't get an opportunity to turn that in, on your way out today, there's carts at each door and there's baskets there. You can place the survey right there in the basket, and that'll just help us out. We greatly appreciate you taking time to do that. Let me pray with you, and we'll be out of here. God, thank you so much, God, for everything you've done for us. And just this series about making good choices. And today, this choice of choosing to grow in Christ, help us to make that choice. Help us to choose you, Jesus, to learn from you, to live like you. And help us to make choices, spiritual disciplines and routines, to develop some routines that don't become routine, that will allow us to grow in our relationship with you. Be with us this week. Help us to honor you by the way we live, we pray. Amen. Thanks. You got